views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I hate that it's a trope, but I also kind of understand that there's always going to be a Joey in any kind of in any kind of like group setting. But the fact that even superhero movies are starting to do that, like you've got King Shark that is the most adorable character.
He is the most adorable, but did King Shark get laid? It's because he's the Joey.
Yeah, he is the Joey.
Very true.
I was waiting for it in the Stallone voice to go, just, how you doing? It just never happened. Although I think Ratcatcher was ready for some shark dick. I really think that...
She was very sensitive to it. If it were I King Shark, I probably would have asked for a number or something.
Me call you sometimes. Yeah.
Hopefully that's a deleted scene that we'll all get to see later.
It's probably on the aforementioned hub somewhere.
Right,
so we can
exactly.
find it. CGI is a wonderful thing.
It's what we deserve.
Speaking of CGI as well, is that I was really upset that there wasn't something a little bit more erotic that happened between guy and dude in Free Guy. That, especially because that's such Ryan Reynolds' brand to just make everybody awkward by him just feeling up himself.
I think that being molested by yourself is its own kind of problem. I don't know.
I think that's called a kink, actually.
Right. I think that that's actually a pretty common fantasy.
So... And?
You think William Shatner makes people put on the Halloween mask before he fucks them? I
mean, with his inside-out face?
Yeah, right.
That could be its own fetish. I would be down for
that. I don't want to be friends with the inside-out face kink community. That's a different level I'm not emotionally prepared for.
No kink-shaming, but a little kink-shaming.
No, but it's more the worry that what if I am into it? Like, really into it?
It awakens something you weren't prepared
fully
for.
Fully fucking awakened.
Anything once. So, yes, you've awakened me. I'll give it a try once. But this is not my inside-out face, because I already know that I'm drawn to my inside-out face. Thinking about your inside-out face.
Yeah, why did I get excited because you were making eye contact with me when you said that?
Like, I'm thinking about your skin, but the beard's underneath now on the skull. So you've got skin, but there's a beard underneath, so it's puffy in different places.
It's the other side of the beard. It's just the little tufts. It looks like fucking plugs. Yeah. Earplugs. Yeah.
Inside-out face is the new O-face.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's going to be a TikTok trend in like 1 week. Oh, no. I did very much like the dude character in Free Guy. I thought that, you know, the Joey character.
Yes, the dude is a lot of fun.
I think someone needs to rein in Ryan Reynolds a little bit because he's getting too much power. He has his own cell phone company. He has his own gym. He has clones of himself that are muscle babies, so it's getting out of control.
No, Ryan Reynolds is too powerful. It's not just that. It's not just that he can put his face everywhere. Ryan Reynolds brought in a lot of people for this movie. Like, I saw the people on screen. I was like, oh, he brought in these people. That's really cool.
But speaking of it, spoilers.
Yeah.
Moving forward on Free Guy.
I won't say who the people are yet, but he brought in a lot of people. They're not on screen, but there are people in this movie who you're like, what the hell, Ryan Reynolds? Are you the president? Are you God?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it makes sense because Ryan Reynolds has kind of like formed a career on being a hot idiot. And so just adding in like hot dummy 2.0 just seems like a natural progression. But like, we also need to stop it now. Like, this is it. There's no 3.0 because we can't handle that as a society.
Hot dummy 2.0 is the name of my 98 degrees cover band.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he wants it that way.
He does.
Nick Lachey is going to have words for you.
In my group, I am Nick Lachey.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, a little bit of that. You nailed it way better than me. Thank you.
I tried.
He committed to the bit.
Yeah.
Necessary.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on this journey to Free City, where we can talk about a blue t-shirt guy and
his
whimsical trek trying to get laid. I think that's the point. So welcome to episode 221 of Geeks Under the Influence.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay, Free Guy. Okay, so before we get into the episode, let's introduce the NPCs that are on on this episode here. First off, from my handle is Jonathan Blade. Jonathan Blade himself.
That's correct. Let's go with that.
Okay, cool. We've got Tondi here.
Damn Skippy.
You don't go by Jonathan Blade, right? Or
Jonathan Blade is just my internet name. The podcast itself is about the world of Jonathan Blade, my internet self.
That is such a porn name.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Like
a good one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To the point where I both really want to and don't want to Google that. Just as like I don't want to run across something that you didn't think people would find. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I will tell you that my bedroom fetish is not something that my girlfriend would call me Jonathan Blade in the bedroom, so
okay.
Yeah, there's nothing out there.
Just me knife. No, nope,
just
wait,
me sad close. With my dick in my hand. That's
oh,
all.
Oh no. Next up, there's no segue there. I'm just gonna move forward. A first timer.
That's me.
Yeah. I didn't ask beforhand how you wanted your last name to go. Is it Ryan Cacophony?
That's also my internet name.
Okay, cool. Yeah absolutely. I love the punk rock last names. Like half my fucking friends have like punk rock last names. I'm just known as Hobbit.
The Hobbit, yeah.
It's fucking lame. Like
so fucking punk rock.
I remember when I moved to Virginia, I was like, call me Mike Mayhem. And people were like, no, not going to do that. It just didn't work. But
you know, people actually think that is my last name, which I find funny.
Like the Cacophony family?
Right. Yeah, I, right. Well, I was in a shitty band back in the day called the Cacophonies, and I kind of did the Ramones thing.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
I'm Ryan Cacophony.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
And I don't know why it stuck, but I never changed it, so.
I can't do that with this show. I'm Mike Geeks Under the Influence. It's just a little too,
doesn't
too chunky.
Flow.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, but with Cacophony, you could say you're Hungarian. I don't know how Geeks Under the Influence runs together to form a thing.
Right.
Yeah, just take all the spaces out and it'll sound like something. But Ryan, you're in a couple bands in
Richmond. I am. I'm in the band called Talk Me Off. We've been together for about 5 years now.
And fucking rad.
Thank you.
Yeah, the new record came out.
420, actually. Yeah.
Nice.
Even though none of us really smoke weed, but we're just like, fuck it, 420.
No, it's because GUI's anniversary is 420. That's why you did it.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Yeah,
it's
you're right.
Such
you
huge
called
fans.
It, man.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm in a new band called NC17.
Nice.
Which, it's going well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's awesome.
We played a show the other night at the Camel.
Yes, we did.
Fortunately,
yeah.
I couldn't make it. I'm really looking forward to checking out NC17.
I was bummed that you couldn't make it. I was like, oh, the Hobbit's not here.
It's not his party until the Hobbit shows up to complain about his back. Yeah, that's really stand in the back and be like, I used to mosh pit. Yeah, that's
it's not a party until Mike shows up and yells, Mike Mayhem in the building.
In
and then everyone boos.
Right.
That really gets the party going.
The kind of love and support that you're hearing on the mic right now is from the hostess with the mostest from Deeply Upset. And my partner in life, Amy Bogart, is here.
What's up, everybody?
Hello.
I'm trying to do my best lowdown. Was that good?
That was it. Was eerie how much you sounded like a 800-pound muscly black man. Yes.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate it. That means a lot to me.
That image is Amy deeply upsetting. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing you, like dude and free guy, of just your face on Lowdown's body, and it's
body.
Really hot.
Talk about a porn subgenre right there. People
talk about
pay.
Amy getting to top.
Yeah, exactly. There's a paywall for that. That's some top tier premium content.
When she's
baby.
About to come, she yells catchphrase.
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed that they took my intellectual property with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's so unfair.
I did fuck all the producers of Free Guy, so I guess I can't be that surprised.
And not to get anything from them except that dick. But
yeah, exactly. Obviously.
Yeah.
And wrapping up the panel, as always, is the true host with the most. I'm trying, but I'm not quite there yet. That is Mike the Hobbit Bigot.
It's more the host that's too much, I think, is actually how
yeah, the host with way too much.
Way too much.
Mike Mayhem, the Hobbit Bigot. I'm never letting it go.
That's so unfortunate.
I fucking love it.
Oh, no. I thought it was so cool when I was younger. Holy
that's
shit.
That's because you, like the dude, are a hot dummy.
Well, because there's people that can pull off like Chris Mannick. Like I have friends that have like the cool punk rock last name. I'm not that person. Like I
no,
cannot.
No, honey, we know. Yeah, no, we're all on the same page about it.
I probably delivered like you can call me Mike Mayhem.
No. Skipping into the bar.
I mean, I'm not cool enough to have a punk name either. But you just gotta fake it till you make it.
Don't say that, Ryan. You are.
Oh,
you're a cacophony
you.
At heart.
You've got cacophony vibes, but Hobbit stuck for a reason. So
right.
I like food and I like adventure, I guess.
I'm going to go smoke this tree leaf.
No, I'd make my friend do all the heavy lifting. I just play with jewelry. I think that's the... So yeah, let's get into Free Guy before we make this so much worse. First off, this is an entirely, you know, virtual world, which we've seen in so many different ways in different films. The first one that came to mind was The Matrix, where there's characters in this film that don't know that they're not real or that they're not part of the quote-unquote real world.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that breakdown in any movie where you have that moment where people start to recognize that their reality isn't the real reality.
Uh-huh.
Because just how people take it. And there was more so than a lot of movies, the characters in Free Guy were resistant to that idea, where like they, even if they heard it, went, nah.
Yeah, so that's interesting because it's a really lighthearted family movie, but it's dealing with some really heavy shit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't deal with that heavy shit. It presents these heavy ideas, and they are heavy ideas. Mm-hmm. Oh, we created life. Let's make money off of it. That's fun or whatever, but we created life. That is a whole, like, Her is one of my favorite movies. Even Her doesn't fully deal with the social ramifications of just AI existing, that you are forcing to be your friend or your,
right,
like, disembodied sex puppet or whatever. Yeah, that's heavy shit.
Yeah.
Disembodied sex puppet is the name of my Chili Peppers cover page, actually.
Yeah, I wish they had went a little bit more with that, though.
I agree. That idea. I think there's actually room for a sequel where they delve more into like how they finished the film, where it would get into that more. Mm-hmm. You notice the minute that like other NPCs became self-aware, Ryan Reynolds was just like, peace, chick. Like, you be real. I'm good now. Like, I got dinosaurs. Like, I'm happy.
Yeah, you know what? Wonderful time, such a good time. But about halfway through the movie, when they start dealing with the real world stuff, I feel like, and this is the family movie writing, it just kind of fell off a cliff. They were like, this doesn't really matter, we're just gonna do this stuff because it's fun and we're having this adventure or whatever. But it kind of fell apart. There are things like, yeah, he's like, peace out to this, I'm gonna let you down easy or whatever, because I have everything I need here with my best friend, who I love, and who we've professed our love, you know, platonic love for each other throughout this movie, but they never developed Rel. If you're going to have that character, you have to develop him at least a little bit.
A little bit more, yeah. And he went from, like, one turn to totally awake. You know, there wasn't that transition with the character.
See, I got more Truman Show vibes than The Matrix.
Okay.
Truman Show did this just a little bit better. Sometimes when Free Guy would teeter on a more substantial, like, message like that, or... Then it was followed up by, you know, man falls down, go boom type humor, you know, and it's just like, I wish they would, you know, go more into that, more into the serious tone.
No, I agree to an extent, is that it felt like they were the exacerbated teacher trying to explain high concepts to a kindergarten class and was trying to deal with these higher concepts in very simple, super simple terms.
Oh, I feel like you're spot on with saying that it's kind of like a teacher, because to me, that is kind of how it felt, in that way that, you know, they always say that when you're giving a speech, you need to add in like a funny anecdote or like something to spice it up every 10 seconds that you're giving a speech. That's kind of how it felt like to me, where they were like, fuck, it's a comedy. No, go back, do something stupid, like fall over, say something slutty, like whatever.
Like they wouldn't allow themselves to.
Exactly. Write, yeah. It was like a balance that they couldn't quite strike.
Yeah. And that was the interesting thing, because like I said, the tone of this movie is, it's really like 90s, like guy was a man with a great job,
yeah,
perfect relationship, blah blah blah, but it wasn't a kid's movie, it didn't have any children in it, and the relationships were, they were adult relationships, but somehow they thought this was the perfect tone for this movie, and it did make it fun. It was a lot of fun. Ryan Reynolds was a lot of fun, and he did something that was different than what he usually does. He wasn't, you know, cynical funny. He was just, you know, he's doing his Ryan Reynolds thing.
A little warmer. Yeah.
Pure. Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say that if they had treated the real world tone a little bit different than the Free City tone, and had a little bit more of a grounded tone to it, where it talked about those high concepts a little bit more, you would have had a better contrast between the two. But you have Taika Waititi doing whatever the fuck that was.
Oh my
it
God.
Was
awful. I can't wait to get into that.
Awful. That was bad.
Yeah, it was awful.
So we agree.
Yeah, that was terrible. Really bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, and I love Taika. Like, and
no, so great. Much.
Yeah, this doesn't like end my love affair with him or anything.
He was an SNL sketch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It felt so unnatural to his style of humor. And it's clear that he didn't have a whole lot of say as far as the tone of the character. He probably did a lot of ad-lib, but he had to be a certain way with that character that was just not.
Like, I don't even know how to, like, present this, but it's like Taika Waititi has a light behind, as an actor, there's a light behind your eyes when you're presenting this that makes it believable or whatever, and he was such a cartoon character that it was like there wasn't even a person there that was delivering these ridiculous lines of this ridiculous caricature of whatever he was caricaturing.
Yeah, I think that that was the main thing for me that, like, took me out. Because I feel like I could have been okay with the level of not completely getting into those, like, higher concepts, because it is a comedy film, you know, at the end of the day. So I think I would have felt fine with the amount that they did that, but it was him that really took it out, because I felt like all of the other comedy was on the same level, even though you did have, like, pure Ryan Reynolds, and then, like, Jodie Comer's character was kind of, like, the more cynical one, but it all kind of fit. And then Taika Waititi, and the thing about it that blew me away was that those were definitely choices. Like, the lines themselves were ridiculous. So if you kind of did it like a rich douchebag, it would have worked so perfectly instead of like a cartoon character that speaks like a human doesn't speak ever and won't ever.
Right. Like, I wish there was more real world segments in the movie. I mean, those are my favorite parts.
Yeah.
But then less Taika. You know, it seemed like he was just there for like a couple days, because most of his scenes were just in that office, and it seemed more of like a cameo. He was just going to come in and be like, I'm going to do this and roll out. You know?
It seemed like there was some Zoomer that took a TikTok of their alcoholic uncle at a picnic trying to use Zoomer terms. Sheesh. What's the other one that I know?
Oh, I don't know. You use sheesh a lot.
I never use it correctly.
Never.
No, but just using like the cool kid speak, and it comes out really weird when there's like a 48-year-old man in a Hawaiian shirt saying it. Yeah. It's just not correct. That was Taika with the, like, was that like a jean dress vest that he was wearing at one point? Like, there was
the two fabrics in the trench coat.
Jean trench that he was wearing was very.
And I was so on board as soon as he showed up in that ridiculous fucking outfit. I was like, this rules. I can't wait to see what he does. And then the second he opened his mouth, I said, Oh no. Oh no. Yeah, isn't what I thought.
It was the dialect that got me too. Yeah. That took me out of it for sure.
He might as well have just said, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm the bad guy. You know, he could have just laid it out like that, and it would have worked the way he was playing that.
Yeah. He was an evil hello fellow kids is what he
was. Yeah. Swirling his imaginary mustache the entire time. But you know, that was a bummer. Apparently, the thing is that Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi should never be in movies together, because the last time they were was Green Lantern. So, So, something bad happens when they get together.
No, but, you know, this was an enjoyable movie. Green Lantern is an unfortunate movie. So
I tried to rewatch that recently just because it's been so long since I tried to watch it and thought, it can't be as bad as I remember it being. Yeah. It is. It really is that bad. It's,
you know,
it's garbage.
I own it, and I haven't watched it in a long time, but I think one of the biggest things I remember is that Ryan Reynolds' character is kind of an asshole. Like,
he doesn't deserve anything he gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of undercuts everything. Oh, you mean you're handsome and charming, you've got beautiful women pining after you, and you get to have this magic ring, and you're still an asshole to the people around you?
It reminded me of the Marvel version of that, of just like a piece of shit white dude that earns powers that he doesn't deserve, which was Danny Rand in the Iron Fist series. He's like, I'm Danny Rand. This is my company. I'm the chosen one. Fuck off. If you're the chosen one, I don't want to see who was the second one.
Well, you know, Danny Rand didn't fail because he was entitled. He failed because that actor was not up to that role.
That's come out recently that he apparently just did not want to do any of the training for his action sequences and stuff. So.
Yeah, he was bad, but he was, as an actor, he wasn't up to the role. He didn't carry the screen.
No, not at all. And that's so unfortunate. And yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling with Taika a little bit on this too. Is that it's just wrong casting.
You know who did though? So until I looked at the IMDb and Wikipedia, I thought that Jodie Comer was two separate actors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did not know that was one person.
Nice.
I thought that impressed me. impressed me a lot.
If you have not had the chance to check out Killing Eve,
I was about to bring that up.
Incredible in
absolutely,
that movie.
Yeah.
And apparently is able to jump between dialects like crazy. And, has like a really spot on Russian accent in that. That's impressive.
Well, I was impressed. Yeah.
And yeah, it's actually kind of a somewhat sexy kind of show too.
Oh, it's very sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Sherlock for lesbians.
And
a little bit more murdery.
Sandra Oh, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they get kind of like weirdly obsessed with each other and cat and mouse game kind of thing. It's solid.
Great show.
Yeah.
Very hot.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that she's doing so well, like in this film, because, you know, I mean, it's an incredibly talented actress that needs to get more, you know, more parts.
Yeah, definitely.
I can definitely see her going pretty fucking far.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, another actor whose name I don't remember offhand, but he was in Game Over Man as the Instagram influencer billionaire character in the Game Over Man, the Workaholics movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Was one of the programmers. It was Joe Keery's like foil.
Oh yeah, I got his name down because I just wanted to be able to put it in the show somewhere. It's Utkarsh Ambudkar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. He's got great comedic timing. I don't think they gave him enough in this.
Yeah, his character was all over the place.
Yeah.
But I liked him.
Yeah.
I did like him.
Yeah, yeah. I think the actor's great. The character, yeah, it was that whole no transition between the
where he was
the direction
here
of the
and where
yeah.
he was here. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird.
He went from the guy that's going to do whatever Taika wants him to do to suddenly being like, nah, man, Joe Keery's my best friend. I love Stranger Things.
Yeah. And we never got that feeling.
Yeah. No. That's kind of how it felt with that and with like Lil Rel Howery's character, is that there were like scenes of character exposition that I think were just taken out, or they were like, that's not really that important. It's fine. Well, they'll get it. They'll understand. But it's like, no, how did we get here though?
Right.
Well, they did do more to establish a relationship between Guy and Rel than they did between Joe and Utkarsh.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Because that was nothing.
Because
they didn't seem like friends at the beginning.
They seemed like frenemies,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think I meant more with Rel's, like, just individual, like, character arc.
Yeah, there was nothing there for how important that character ended up being to Guy.
Right.
Yeah.
You needed a moment, I think, especially because it was set up, and I was fully expecting it to happen, that Guy was going to lose his glasses and Rel was going to put them on.
Yep.
Because he was offered a pair, and he refused it. So that would be, like, the payoff for that moment is that he puts on the glasses, but he doesn't. There isn't a point. He gets the glasses and then he throws it through a portal back to Guy. And you needed that moment where he becomes just as self-aware as Guy becomes, you know, and you don't get that. It's just that he just decides, I don't know what's going on, but fuck it. This is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rel was, once again, 90s family movie. He was like the David Alan Grier to Phil Hartman or, you know, whoever the lead of the movie is.
Yep.
Just there to be the smiling black guy.
Funny black sidekick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like 20 years too late. And I thought he had a good time. He seemed like he was having a good time with what he was working with or whatever, which was nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
But yeah, that's what that felt like.
Yeah.
I think the concept of this movie is great. I love that there's like a big blockbuster summer movie that is an actual original idea. It's not a remake of anything.
Yeah.
It's not an adaptation of something. Awesome. I think there's a lot of places this could have gone that could have given it more depth or even made it bigger. Especially if you have a harder contrast between the two different worlds, you can get even more buck wild with Free City and just completely fuck up people's visual worlds with that world if you have a more grounded reality. But again, this was supposed to be, like you said, a fun, like,
right,
not exactly family movie, but just a fun romp type of a movie.
Yeah.
I think the mistake it made for me is not just being that and introducing some heavier concepts and then just not doing a whole lot with it. And I'm like, okay, well, let's explore that more.
Yeah, but if you look at what's come out in the modern time, I'd still give the leg up over, say, like Ready Player One, which...
I would agree, yeah.
Yeah, which deals with some similar kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like the dude who created the world that they live in Ready Player One is clearly an AI or something.
Sure.
In that movie.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything with that.
Fuck it.
And also the movie's kind of...
It's very fun. I think it did miss the mark a little bit from what it was supposed to be, you know, touching on. But
I think the film really should have been more focused on Millie Them creating Free City and an AI that can think for itself,
or just on Millie's relationship with what was Joe Gary's name?
Haircut, I think.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't even get his movie name when I took notes, because that's how unimportant he was. I feel like he got a raw deal too. He was rom-com guy. Was what he was.
He was nice guy's finish last guy.
And he wasn't bad or anything, but it was a stock character.
Mm-hmm.
And they even introduced the fact that he's like middle ground programmer guy that has been given all the offers to work higher up in this thing, and he's given up on his dreams. Definitely. He's working for the bad guy that like stole their game and stuff. Not because he's being super spy guy. He gets convinced into that later. There's no explanation as to why he's not moving up in the chain.
None.
Except
that it's on him for some reason.
Yeah, like, and there's not even a throw-off line of being like, yeah, you know, I got the job that I could get, but I just don't feel good about, you know, being successful at it or something. You know, just some little thing to explain why he just is stuck in this role.
Working the complaints department.
Yeah, and very his buddy strange. Even says, like, yeah, you are like this mega programmer dude. Why are you stuck here? And he's like, oh. And just, that's it. Like,
you know? Yeah, right.
I wish I could do more, but this is Ryan Reynolds' movie, so.
Yeah.
I do feel like there was also something missing from the our comprehension of their relationship. And maybe this was just me, so everyone can tell me if this was like just in my head. But even though they showed the interview where they asked if they were together and she was like, oh, no, like making a big to-do about it, they still, when they reconnected, you know, in the modern world, they still very much gave me X vibes. Like I still felt like there had been, maybe they just like had sex once and it was bad, but like there was something kind of kinetic.
I feel like they
them.
Didn't. I feel like really? The X vibes were just because they were two
like ex
not emotionally connected people who had this relationship that wasn't romantic, but was almost like dating.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't romantic.
Yeah.
So it almost was like X vibes because of.
Yeah. If you're programming a video game at the level that they are talking about this thing being
just the two of them,
yeah, right. They were probably
they're both extremely attractive, so yeah, right. I'm sure they
there's like type forlorn look.
Yeah,
type.
It wasn't fleshed out enough. That's my big problem with this movie.
Yeah, you get Which used to somebody's farts and
very intimate.
Yeah, just Joe Keery just plowing through the Surge energy drinks and just, you know, just look, this butterfly evolved. And she's like, fucking sweet, high five. And then they stop, like, their hands touching. No, we must get back to programming.
There's like a jolt of electricity.
He goes to high five her, and she stops like this, and he accidentally smacks her in the face, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. No, it's okay, it's me.
No, that's if they give his role to Justin Long, that would happen.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I do like the idea of basically the inner workings of this video game that is kind of high concept that gets stripped for parts, basically, to be used for this modern game. The problem with that is that there is nothing about, like, the algorithms that they use in that game that would need them to have a secret island off the coast of Free City to, like, have it still all there in the programming. Anybody that has any very basic understanding of programming would be like, that's... You need an Alcatraz island of butterflies? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, but if you go with that, you cannot go with that logic at all, because there's so much stuff in this movie. Like, for me, the thing was when Taika Waititi's just taking down servers and it's only doing discrete damage to certain things, there would be more non-localized damage to stuff as he's just taking out servers. In fact, he just would have taken out the game pretty early on.
Yeah.
It's not like, this island is the last thing. Yeah. But you know what? That still makes more sense than Taika's character, so it's
very
fine.
True.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, like, his motivations are insane.
Oh, insane.
Yeah.
I feel like his choices for that, maybe they looked at the script and they were like, man, there's holes, but we're on a production schedule. And he was like, what if I went and I was on 1,000 the entire time, and then people were just like so fucking mind boggled by that they don't even notice any of the plot holes. Let's do that. How about it? Right. And then he just came in and was like, fucking what? No one will remember.
Canadian trench coat made out of jean material. Let's fucking do this.
Well, what are you thinking, Taika? Money. It's what motivates me to be in this movie in the first place.
Right.
Greed, what motivates my character.
Mm. Money.
Yeah.
I mean, greed covered all the plot holes, in my opinion.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I think him funding his next indie project was what actually this was here.
Yeah, and his indie project, him funding his next game, and the game being shitty, was probably the most relatable thing in the whole movie.
True.
I genuinely did enjoy this movie.
Me
like
too.
We are digging into it a little bit because there's a lot of plot holes, but that's the thing is that they took a higher concept story and they kind of pushed it down a little bit to reach a wider market.
Yeah.
And one thing that I thought needed a little bit more of a comparable emotions in the film is that you've got Millie,
mm-hmm.
who clearly is lonely if she's letting some dude on a video game make out with her, like while eating bubblegum ice cream. She's lonely. She hasn't been around people in a while. She feels like rejected from the gaming community because of what happened. And if they really pushed her to show that loneliness a little bit more to be a real world foil for how Blue Shirt Guy is feeling this entire time, where he feels he's the only person in his world that's awake, you know, that's aware of what's going on. And besides the sunglass people, and they don't even recognize him as like a real thing.
Well, they did have some of the NPCs were approaching sentience at that
sure.
point. They started doing stuff that was off program and developing a bigger thing. But this is completely non sequitur. But that ice cream scene, Ryan Reynolds, you know, there's a dude who is mega buff, but Ryan Reynolds starts off the movie, and it might just be that the baggy blue work shirt covers this up, but he starts wearing a t-shirt before that. Ice cream scene after he's had all his ventures, it looks like Ryan Reynolds like juiced a little bit. He's jacked. I turned to my son who came to see the movie with me and was like, is Ryan Reynolds' shirt getting smaller? And my son was like, yeah. Yeah.
But it's better than the first movies where he had to have like 10 seconds of his abs showing in every film that he was in. Like it was gratuitous in waiting where it's almost like he was waiting to pull his shirt down until Justin Long turns the corner. He's like, oh, hey, didn't see you there, as he slowly pulls his shirt down.
Oh, you mean when he was in his 20s versus now when he's in his late 40s?
And still more in shape than I've ever been in my, and ever
me,
will
yes.
be in my life, yeah. It was even mentioned, I think, in the bank by his buddies, like, have you been working out? Like, you seem a little bit more swole. Is that, he definitely, and I think it's because he was leveling up is what it was
mm-hmm.
suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, the choice to let's have it just an even musclier Ryan Reynolds was an interesting choice.
Yes.
The t-shirt tattoo was that was a bridge too far for me, I think.
As a placeholder, it was cute. I didn't think that as a joke it fully landed, but I thought it was cute and in keeping with the other placeholders that the dude represented.
Sure. Yeah, and there were definitely some very fun lines that he delivered throughout with that, which we will probably get into a little bit later when we do our drunken scenes and stuff. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about the fucking Hackney thing, that what made him aware was love.
Yeah.
Love.
Right.
Love awakened the AI. It was a little heavy.
That
but...
scene where, like, she kisses him and he remembers, that was so cringy to me.
That was a bit much.
So bad.
Like, love is the theme, but he is a representation of somebody else's love. He's not love himself. Like, her singing, what was the song that she sang?
Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Sweet Fantasy.
Baby.
Is
stuck in my head since I saw the movie. Thank you so much.
For Guy, that's just like her saying, longing, boxcar, sofa cushion.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
it's just a trigger. It's just a trigger that activates this message that he represents.
The winter blue shirt.
Yeah, the winter blue shirt.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. No, yeah. That was like a trigger
100%.
Word that woke him out of his fucking like blue shirt coma.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, one thing that I thought was a really cool idea, and then it was just never ever approached again in this movie, is that he goes to the coffee shop and he normally gets like a coffee with cream and two sugars, I think is the thing.
Right.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm gonna try cappuccino,
like,
little chocolate, some foam. And everybody's just like, what the fuck? Like, they're so fucked up over it. And then a tank rolls up and turns its turret, like, I'm gonna fucking blow this place up, because he ordered cappuccino. And I thought, cool, so there's like gonna be this whole the city itself is going to defend itself from an AI.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really cool idea. Nope. That was the only time.
It's a bit. Yeah. Remember the cop? The cop was like, I might have to shoot you.
Yeah. I thought that was a really cool idea. And it just never went anywhere else after that.
Yeah. That was anything that was heavy or deep in the movie beyond the idea that these people need to be in this relationship was, they were bits.
I understand that they wanted that relationship to be the through line through the movie, but I think they missed out on a lot of other opportunities by focusing on that instead of him developing relationships with all these people as he's leveling up, you know, people that he runs into all the time, you know, to save the day or beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine you're a robber and you get beat up by blue shirt guy 8 times. And it's like, hey, Steve, hey, blue shirt guy, you know, you can really dig into that a little bit more, but instead of just fucking heart eyes scenes throughout this movie.
I want to say that I did see that there will be a sequel. So maybe some of our like questions
sequel's
will
greenlit,
get
yeah.
answered. Yeah. And fortunately for all of us that during the, you know, axe to the server scene that went on forever, luckily none of the NPCs got murdered. Not one. So we have
they'd all move to the island server.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, the NPCs don't live on one of the servers. Their code doesn't live on one of the servers that got destroyed. They live on the island server now because they moved from the other server to just the island server.
Ah, of course. Right. Yes.
Pandora, Avatar 2.
Yeah, right.
With Free Guy, yeah.
I think that's a good place for our break. So we're going to come back, talk about our sponsors a little bit, what we're drinking. Maybe do a drunken scene or two. So, and of course, talk a little bit more about Free City and Blue T-Shirt Guy on this episode about Free Guy. So stick around. We'll be right back. Hey, geeks. Instead of our normal plugs for the other shows on the network, I wanted to give a gigantic thank you for all the readers of Style Weekly that voted Geeks Under the Influence 2021's Best Local Podcast. It's an honor to be celebrated for being part of this podcast community in Richmond that has grown to be pretty significant in recent years. I also want to give a shout out for second place of How We Got Here, third place with Race Capital, and of course, honorable mentions, our friends at Quid Pro Roll, This Room Sounds Great, and Two Guys Into Fridays for their nominations as well. I did want to touch base on a couple things mentioned in the article that I want some clarification on. It isn't really mentioned how much Lowdown Brown is involved in the network and this show, that just running everything. He's my partner in the Geeks on the Influence Network and my partner on GUI, and none of this happens without him. He is just as important to the inner workings of all this craziness happening as I am, and I think he wasn't mentioned enough in the article. So I wanted to, along with him, mention all the other showrunners as well, how deeply important this family of Geeks Under the Influence has become to me, both personally and professionally, over the last 6.5 years. I cannot begin to tell you how great it is to have family like this of just genuinely good people that work their asses off for this dumb, weird thing that we're doing together. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So, Groots, Hunter, Scotty, Kyle, the Bruce, Lowdown, Amy, all of you at GUI, the biggest of thank yous for being part of this crazy dream with me. And also, another brief mention is that there's a conversation about us not being problematic in the article, and though we do try not to punch down at any point, the idea of claiming yourself is not problematic in itself is kind of self-congratulatory and not how I necessarily put it in the conversation. That isn't a hard line. It's a kind of a gray area in some ways, and we are colorful, and we're a little gross and weird sometimes, and our focus is not to punch down. And if there's any time that we do, we're open to hearing that conversation, but we can't openly say that we're not going to cross the line for some listeners when they listen. We are a rated R podcast. We do talk about gross, weird stuff sometimes. And so our focus is less about trying to be something that is consumable for everyone. And it's more about making sure that we're inclusive of everyone. So at the end of the day, our intentions are only of the inclusion and celebration of geek culture. So I just wanted to thank everybody for voting and our listeners for listening for these 6.5 years, and of course the GUI family for making this all possible. So check out styleweekly.com to read up that article. that I'm talking about Best Local Podcast under the Best Of for 2021. And that's it. Back to the show. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Free Guy, the new film starring Ryan Reynolds that hit the theaters this past week. Hopefully you've gone out and checked it out. Speaking of going and checking out stuff, definitely check out goipodcast.com and click on the link on the homepage and on our links page to amazon.com. That's our affiliate. You go through that link and anything you purchase, we get credit for. So you're spending the same amount on the stuff that you need delivered to your door, but we get some of the money pulled out of the evil clutches of Jeff Bezos. So if you want to change the world, continue to purchase stuff on Amazon. Just make sure that 3-4% of your total payment goes to Geeks Under the Influence instead of Jeff Bezos. So that's
somebody deserving.
Somebody deserving of that money. When you need to buy bulk toilet paper through Amazon, just make sure GUI gets some of that cut. No, genuinely, a lot of the video games that were referenced in this movie, you could get on Amazon when Free Guy comes out. You can get that. Or any other wonderful, joyful Ryan Reynolds film you can probably get on Amazon as well. My personal favorite is Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, where he's where he's good friends with a superhero on the Suicide Squad, actually, Nathan Fillion, in that.
Wow, you remember anybody else on that show?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds and Nathan Fillion were in a show together. Yes, I remember that show.
I remember it as the Ryan Reynolds show. I don't know who the other guy or the girl is.
I don't remember who left and when, but it went from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place to Two Guys and a Girl. They dropped the pizza place.
The pizza place is the one that left?
Apparently that was the one that was just not really grabbing people.
Well, contract negotiations.
They're like, look, we have Mystic Pizza. We don't need another pizza place story. So if you want to check out that and also Mystic Pizza, fuck it. Then just make sure you go through our link.
They owned a Papa John's and they started beefing with Papa because he's fucking insane.
Papa John's threw bricks through their window. It was bad.
Wouldn't be surprised.
It got really dark in season 6. Just started talking about the apocalypse. You're like, Papa, stop eating so many pizzas. You get weird.
And so sweaty.
So sweaty. Speaking of sweaty, if you need something to soak up all that body sweat, then buy some of the t-shirts that we have available at TeePublic.
Jesus.
I have to go with a segue, even if it's not a good one.
It'll
get the stank off. Use our GY shirt as a catch towel. No, we've got
super absorbent,
very absorbent. We've got so many different types of absorbencies. There's toddler onesies. There's hoodies.
Why did you start there?
No, I started that path, not realizing how bad it was going to be, and just went with hoodies. There's hoodies. There's t-shirts. There's baseball tees. All sorts of different designs. Close to 40 designs available from Geeks Under the Influence and the shows on the network, and just inside jokes from some of the different shows. I know, Amy.
Yes.
Our deeply upsetting show. We have a horse girl shirt on there.
Sure do.
The Kyles are temporary, but horses are forever.
Mm-hmm. And designed by Holly McCobb from Hell Kitten.
Yes, and it's a Zoomer horse with a middle part.
Oh.
It's impressive.
I'd like to say that would make sense if you listened to the show, but no, it won't.
No. Just if you look up Atheist Horse Girls Forever, that's the episode that comes from.
Yep, but a classic.
We also have the new design from our He-Man Revelation episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Very cool, like a blue design.
So awesome.
With this like electric circle thing going on. It turned out way better than I have any ability. I just kind of fucking stumbled into that one, but I'm glad that it worked out, because now it's available on stickers, buttons, magnets, t-shirts, laptop bags, regular bags, toddler onesies, all sorts of stuff.
Editing fugue magic.
Yes, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's all available through a link at guipodcast.com/store, or just click on the store link on our homepage, and that'll send you right over to TeePublic. And buy some merch. Holidays are coming. At the end of August, we are dropping all of our seasonal Halloween designs back on on the page. So all the alcohol Halloween shirt is coming back.
Guigi.
The Elm Street Ale is coming on back. And our special two-sided Gooey Cthulhu design is coming back as well.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah. So check that out.
Gooey in arms.
And if it's not on sale now, wait like 2 days. It'll be on sale. That's just how they do.
Very true.
Very often. And that's our sponsors. Now on to the real thing that fuels Geeks Under the Influence, and we like to highlight that on a little bit of a jaunt through the boozy streets of GUI in what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yay. That was Kyle with a little help from Bo from Avail on the end there, bringing in the rear. So yeah, what we're drinking, we decided to do a little share here that was a fancy mixed drink Amy Bogard and I came up with together.
We made a little cocktail.
Very complicated drink for this.
It's mixology, actually.
Super mixology. We are craft mixologists now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is called a blue t-shirt guy in honor of Ryan Reynolds himself. A very simple drink. A mixture of just a shot of vodka, some Sprite, and a little blue curacao. I did a quarter shot of blue curacao to give it that nice blue t-shirt color. And it tastes like fucking Sprite.
It tastes like Sprite. Yeah,
it's delicious.
It's and beautiful and refreshing.
I really like drinking just colors. So yeah. This is perfect. Yeah.
It does taste blue. I think it does.
I feel like I'm drinking the stuff that you dunk eggs into for Easter, you know?
Actually, when you guys were talking about the absorbency of your product, I was like, oh, is that what this is for?
Yeah, that's what
it does look like the tampon liquid. For sure.
We're going to do one of those like made for TV product commercials where we just like pour blue juice on stuff to show the absorbency.
Or Barbicide.
This looks like Barbicide for sure. Yeah.
These combs are clean.
That is an unfun game. Yeah. Blue shirt guy beverage or Barbicide or tampon liquid.
You know, that classic second half GUI game that we play.
Yeah, we should workshop that.
We really should. This is a great drink. I could honestly make a big punch bowl of this for a party and it would be fine. And it would look like it was fancy, but it's literally just a vodka and Sprite with a little blue curacao thrown in.
So. Yeah, you could probably boost
it. Delicious and refreshing. Lemons.
Mm.
A little lemon juice.
Lemon juice would probably help out a lot with this. Also, what we planned on doing for a garnish, but then we forgot, is we were going to get some like Bazooka Joes and just do a little bubblegum garnish on the edge of that for thematic effect.
So speaking of drinking, can I tell a story about what happened before I saw this movie, like in the theater?
Yes. Please.
Cool. So
We
were buying our tickets. We buy them at the concessions now. I don't know if that's like a new thing, but it was 10:30 at night, so
yeah.
Probably why. But so this guy comes up and he's like, "I'll take a large icy, the largest icy you guys have." He's like, "Okay, cool."
Yeah.
Cherry or whatever. He's like, "Cherry." Yeah. And then he's like, "And then I'll take a Blue Moon as well, please." He's like, no, not a Blue Moon. Oh, I shouldn't drink. Said all that to himself.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah, so it was a little depressing, but I felt it was good enough to tell him on the pod.
Was he seeing Annette? Or what is it? What's the new...
Is that out?
That's out now,
hell
I think.
Yeah.
That looks like it's going to drive me to drink.
I have no clue what he was seeing, but he just popped out of nowhere. Yeah.
He was just like so shaken by the Green Knight, and he was like, I need to fucking steady myself.
Yeah.
He was taking it to go.
Right.
He was just like, free guy didn't really get into the real philosophical conversation about self-awareness. Like,
need to calm myself down with some diabetes and a drink.
He's actually a programmer that's working on AI currently, and he's like, oh, they figured my shit out. He's really mad. So yeah, this is not an overly boozy beverage. This is something you could definitely have a few glasses of and enjoy yourself. And
I feel like you could put more booze in it, and it would probably hide it pretty damn well.
I thought about doing a double for everyone, but I know there's going to be some driving that happens later this evening, and didn't want too many people sleeping on the couch at the same time. So,
fair. That is fair.
Oh, the mayhem's growing up.
Papa Mayhem is what they call it.
I don't know if I'm ready for the Hobbit, your beard is so scratchy experience yet. So.
Sometimes I call him Daddy Mayhem.
Yeah. And Tony, that's why you got a double. we're gonna fix that tonight. Yeah. So that is what we're drinking. We're actually just gonna start moving the drunken scene to the ends of the episodes now. Just to break it up a little bit, not have this big chunk in the middle. So we're gonna get right back into Free Guy.
Doom.
And then when we're at our peak drunkenness is when we're going to do Drunken Scene, which makes more sense, honestly.
It does. It
nice
does
little
work.
Send off for the episode. So
I really want to just like take it over because I'm too excited and I need to get this out there. We've already done a full half and I'm like on the edge of my seat about it. Can we talk about the shield? Can we just talk about the shield for a second? Because
oh,
that
sure.
was the most exciting part.
That was a great cameo, for sure.
It was. It was awesome. It was an awesome cameo, and evidently was not the only cameo in the movie, which I was very surprised to see after the fact. We were talking about Ryan Reynolds' connections, so he's got the S.H.I.E.L.D. cameo, mm-hmm. which is
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
Chris
yeah.
Evans. Amazing.
Yes, indeed. But The Rock cameoed. Hugh Jackman cameoed. There's some women that cameoed, like huge, gigantic stars cameoed, and they did voice parts of the movie. So if you like, cop number one or player number five or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Those were super famous people.
Oh, wow.
But for some reason, they were on set, too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's the,
probably just to come and hang out with their friend. Hey, we're making a $100 million movie. You want to come and hang out? Yeah, House Craft Services. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty good.
So when you're a super big star and you do a cameo like that, what... Do you even get paid for it? Or like, I know they have to pay you. There's like rules and stuff, but like, how does it?
It's probably like a dollar with the guarantee that Ryan Reynolds would come and be in another Fast and the Furious movie, like adjacent property again. Cause I don't think Ryan Reynolds got paid for his appearance in Hobbs and Shaw. I think he just rolled up and they just filmed him for like 20 minutes in that diner. And he also did the voice of the AI in that was Ryan Reynolds as well. I think they just have a barter system with cameos in each other's movies.
You know how they got Chris Evans in there? He was just in town. He just happened to be in town. So they got him in and out, they said, in like 7 minutes.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a 2-second cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But amazing. Yeah. The best 2 seconds of the whole movie. Though I do have to say, when it comes to cameos, just especially with it being Ryan Reynolds' movie and him being like weirdly charming the pants off of everybody always, I was a little disappointed when we got to the end and there was no Mariah cameo. It just felt so natural that she was going to show up at some point as like an NPC of some sort.
They,
I don't know.
They probably went, nobody wants to deal with Mariah.
Like, I know. That's the only reason, because it's Mariah. But also, fun fact, because I looked it up, I loved the fantasy cover in the middle of it when it was kind of like soft and acoustic-y
sounding. Oh, is that the climax of the film where he's like running down the bridge and it's collapsing?
I really liked it. And I mean, I fucking love Mariah, so no shame there. So I was like, I'm definitely downloading that cover immediately. It's not for download. It's Jodie Comer. She's the one singing it. Ryan asked her to do it, apparently.
So many talents.
I know, right? Yeah, it's unfair.
She has like 2 million accents that she can do at the drop of a hat, and also apparently has the voice of a fucking angel. Great. Cool.
We did not mention Chatham Tatum.
Oh my god.
I love when he does comedy more than anything, really.
And pairing up, I've seen that other actor that was the real life version of Chatham Tatum. The E old shark eyes, as I like to call him. That dude's been like a side character in like a million things before, the mm-hmm. like weird puffy lipped geeky dude. But just Channing Tatum being like weirdly sexual towards Ryan Reynolds, like humping at him and just being like, yeah, you want to get weird? And the kid is also like, yeah, like he wants to fuck blue t-shirt guy. I'm so fucking into this scene. Like, it's so perfect.
That was my son's favorite scene, mom. Ma'am!
Oh, yeah, don't touch that sock or you're going to need therapy for the rest of your life. Yeah. Put the sock down!
Mine!
That's on the mom. If you got a teenage boy that's as much of a weirdo as that dude seems pretty clearly to be, you don't touch his socks.
Is that a teenager? That looked like a late 20s, full-grown adult man.
That's a 62-year-old adult man.
At least 62. Yeah. His mom has Benjamin Button syndrome. She's going in reverse, but he is 62 years old today.
Wow. Yeah, that's a whole that could be a movie in itself. Moms dealing with crispy socks. Moms have no, they're not bothered by crispy socks. So that, you know, deal with the fact that AI could be a whole different societal change and the never dealt with in cinema before, the crispy sock paradigm.
Oh, the voice of the mother was another cameo, and I forget who the voice of the mom was, but that was another cameo, another celebrity cameo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forget.
Yeah,
now.
So I wish I could remember who the other people were.
Judi Dench.
It probably was.
Like, I got your cum sock!
Dame I feel like Judi she would Dench. Love that shit.
She Mirren. Would.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love the cameos. I love that scene. I love that. Love any kind of story or genre thing where it both teases and celebrates the thing at the same time. Because especially if you're part of something that's like a niche, mm-hmm. you have to have some level of self-awareness that you are, in fact, a dork.
Yeah.
And if you can't poke fun at yourself and the thing that you love, like I deal with that shit all the time with Star Wars. The Star Wars nerds that take that shit way too fucking seriously. Look, I'm a dyed in the wool from like 4 years old for the rest of my life. Deep, deep Star Wars nerd. Calm down.
You know, Star Wars is a faith. I mean, I don't even understand how that works, but Star Wars is a faith.
Because the Force is fucking real. But I digress. It is like it is something that you are supposed to be celebrating and enjoying. The minute you make this like toxic element where you're being hateful and terrible to everybody about it, it's not worth it anymore.
I don't want to be the downer of this podcast, but like the fan service was, pardon the pun, too forced in my opinion. I mean, it was just I mean, I really dug like, you know, there's a scene where he's just using like the portal gun and he has like a Mega Man blaster, like because that was subtle, whereas like the Star Wars thing was just a little too much. And the Chris Evans thing I thought was just a little too much.
I think
too.
That was so fucking intentional because they could have separated the shield and the lightsaber, two of the most iconic pieces of Disney property that are out there in the world that mm-hmm. they've acquired, that everyone knows Disney owns. They could have put them on opposite ends of that scene. They put them directly next to each other. Oh, that it's the shield scene and then right after his fucking lightsaber.
Star, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So they were, I feel like that was a wink being like, yep, Fox is owned by Disney. Ding! You know, just kind of a little nod there. Right.
I feel like for every Ryan Reynolds movie, just because, I mean, let's be real, I love him. He hits the same notes, like, in everything, pretty much. Even if it is a different tone change like this with him being kind of, like, more wholesome, he's still gonna Ryan Reynolds. And so I feel like if there's ever a hole in the script, there's just got to be, like, an asterisk where it says, like, let Ryan Ryan. And then he's gonna be, like, lightsaber. And they're like, fuck, okay. Like, just whatever. It's going to work. People are going to like it.
They just turn in scripts and it's just over and over like all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, but it's sarcastic jab just across all of the pages.
Ryan being smarmy.
Yeah, right. Smarmy Ryan.
Can you smirk and Ryan. Look at the screen here and then smirk and look at the screen.
Fourth wall break Ryan. Just exactly. Like different...
Sexual innuendo Ryan.
Right.
Over and over.
This was definitely one of those movies where the main character, everything's supposed to just like stop moving. For anything that the main character is doing. Mm-hmm. It's something that I felt wasn't done the best in Birds of Prey with Harley Quinn, where all the action stopped so she could diatribe about a thing. The thing is, I've actually watched that again since Birds of Prey came out, and I chatted on a little bit when it came out. It's not as bad as I remember it being when I saw it in the theater. Like, I warmed up to it a little bit. Yeah.
I never thought it was bad.
No,
I thought it was bad.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. But I warmed up a little bit to it. It's still not great, don't get me wrong.
It's
like,
not good, but it's not bad.
Fun, though.
It is fun. And with this movie, at least, the action still kind of continues to move while Ryan is doing his Ryan thing.
Uh-huh.
And he is able to kind of seamlessly move in and out of the action while he's doing his diatribes and talking about like getting the girl and... his best friend needs to put on the glasses and, you know, there's still movement in the scenes. It doesn't slow anything down. Mm-hmm. So I do appreciate that about this movie.
Yeah. Well, they're respecting the kinetic energy of, an active living video game world as this thing is going on.
Yeah.
So even if there wasn't somebody at the center of every scene, there'd still be things going on in the background all the time. Cause they're respecting the nature of the world that these characters are living in.
Yeah. I'm just mad that they never got to have a scene where he's just drinking beers with his buddy on the beach.
I know.
Yeah,
they could have had that at the end where when they see each other, it could have been near the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then his buddy's like, and he's got like a six pack that says just like free beer or something
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
And then they just go and sit on a park bench looking at the beach and like then fucking like. Fucking Looney Tunes. It just circle kind of goes to black and then you're done.
Little pan out on the clink between the beer bottles.
And then you just have like the really bad MIDI music playing and then there's just like fucking pixelated scroll just starts going up like the end of a video game.
And then they Aww. Show the adventures of Wreck-It Ralph and Sarah Silverman and yeah.
And then you have little 8-bit versions of the characters that are doing goofy things next to the credits, you know?
Oh, yeah. Throw an 8-bit in there, I'm sold, you know?
But yeah. I mean, I'm a retro gamer for sure. I mean, behind you is a stack of Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, so, like, I'm always down for some 8-bit love and 16-bit love. But speaking of, the thing that I wanted to kind of get to before we tied everything up is that there's a real conversation about like self-actualization that this character is kind of rolling through. And at first, Blue T-Shirt guy isn't doing it for himself. He's doing it for this girl that he just has this like deep connection to, and he doesn't understand why. And we learn about why later on in the film. But there is a turn at one point, and I think it's around the time that he starts wanting other people in the world to also experience what he's experiencing, where it's not about just his forlorn love interest. What is he, Lonely Guy or Lonely Heart? Mr. Lonely Heart, I think, was the name of his character before it got moved over to Free City, where it becomes a much bigger reason why he needs to become the best version of himself.
You know who Guy is, don't you?
Hmm.
Guy is Agent Smith.
Fuck you. That would have been that's the stinger scene that this movie needed.
Yeah.
Is at the end, the credits, and it rolls up, and it's him like, all right, I'll catch you later at the bank. Oh, that's right, no bank. And then he's just walking home, and then he just like fully does some face swipe thing, and it's Agent Smith.
It's perfect. Hugo Weaving doing a... it's Hugo Weaving. Hugo Weaving laugh. His teeth.
Or just looks up the... No, better. Looks up the top of a building, and it's Donkey Kong, but with Hugo Weaving's face. And he just starts throwing barrels. The end, question mark. Perfect. Perfect crescendo. But I do like that there is a regular conversation between people going through all the adversity of like trying to get their game back and trying to keep the world alive and trying to understand who they are and what it means to be alive. That the overall tone to find the love of their life, all that shit, it just comes to the idea of like pushing forward even when it doesn't make sense to always get to the best version of the situation that you're in that's possible. You see it with Joe Keery, and yes, there's definitely ways that they could have better informed those paths that the characters were taking, but ultimately the bow at the end of this movie is that if you try, you're always going to end up at least in a better spot than if you didn't. You know, you may not get to exactly where you wanted to be, but it's going to be a better place.
Yeah, it's a beautiful lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can shoehorn in Joe Keery wins kind of out of nowhere.
That felt like, you know who plays a lot of video games is guys that girls don't like him. So if we get the guy that didn't do anything to get the girl except be sad about it, and he gets the girl at the end, then they're going to be like, ooh, wee, me too.
You know, a relationship that did not exist at all in the movie, which the movie would have been bolstered by, is a relationship between Guy and Joe Keery.
Yeah. Very true.
Like nothing. Like this man who created your code.
I'm your daddy.
Made you into who you are.
Taika Waititi might be your father, but I'm your daddy.
I'm your daddy. Toothpick.
Did anyone else think that the scene at the end where Millie and I can't remember the Stranger Things guy's name,
Joe Keery?
No idea.
It, like, where they're like across the street from each other and they're looking at each other and they're like, "Oh, we're in love now." Didn't that thing, that scene went on for so long? They're just like looking at each
weirdly
other.
Weirdly long.
Like awkwardly long.
I thought there was going to be like, because I don't know if they ever really established what city the actual people were in.
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
They could have totally had it in San Francisco and had one of them hit by a trolley.
I thought they were going to get hit by a car.
Or a train. Uh-huh. But like if it was a trolley, it would have been a perfect play to the like train that he gets hit by early on in the movie. The Blue T-Shirt guy gets hit by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually wanted him to be frustrated in that scene and be like, across the street, fuck, dude, so you don't want coffee now? What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want? I'm paying for the coffee. What do you want?
He's just a huge asshole for the first time in the whole movie. And she's like, well, fuck it, never mind, I
know you want a blueberry muffin. I was going to get one anyway. You always ask for one. Why would I not get you a blueberry muffin? She's like, Jesus Christ, never mind. Walks away. Like, fuck.
Was there a moment that was going to happen here? Or
no? No, Joe Keery. No.
But I feel like his character, there's no possible way that he would look at her and see her like meaningful look and be like, yep, she loves me. Like, no chance. That dude had the self-esteem like lower than me in middle school. It was rough.
Oh, no.
That's
pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Neither one of them had emotional intelligence. So, yes, that scene didn't really make sense. Other than the movie had to wrap itself up, that he would look across the street and be like, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's a fun, rompy type of movie. You have to have everybody like get together at the end and be happy. And that was the first thing where Ryan Reynolds, he's been chasing this girl. He's programmed to be in love with this woman to the point of like loving Mariah Carey and bubblegum ice cream. It's fucking bizarre. At the end, he's just like, we got fucking dinosaurs and shit. Like, I'm good. You can go, like, and then just being fully aware of, like, Joe Keery, the lead singer of Haircut 100, is, like, in love with you, clearly. You should probably go make out with him in front of a coffee shop. And he's like, and she's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that was the other ending. But the main ending is that I realize that I love my friend more than any of this other stuff. So I'm perfectly happy as long as I have my friend. You know, that's a really sweet ending. But it leaves you completely unsatisfied because there's nothing that kind of gets you there.
Well, because his whole character development is about finding love. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely felt the same way where I was like, maybe he's going to be in love with Lil Rel Howery. Like, yeah. I mean, I
would have signed off on that. That would have been amazing
so
where they
I
just like
you,
kiss at the end.
I kind of wanted them to make out in the end, even though that wasn't their relationship. Their relationship was platonic dudes. They're bros. But because of where the movie was headed, yes, I would have loved to have seen them be like,
fuck yes. And then they pull back like, wait, was that weird for you? I was like, actually, no. That was really nice, actually. And then credits would have been perfect.
Very romantic.
Speaking of ends, we're heading towards the end of our episode. But before we do that, we are going to hit up the last segment of the show. It's a little segment where we make fools out of ourselves, and it's called Making a Drunken Scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
Because it's a new movie, there's not a whole lot of dialogue that's available online just yet, but there's enough for sure. We've got four separate like one-liners or monologues, I guess, mm-hmm. short ones that we're going to do. So if there's anybody, actually, I'm going to throw it to Ryan being the newbie, getting his cherry popped on GUI, that you have the run of the options here. You get first pick.
I will take Mauser.
Mauser. Woo! Okay. So for a drunken scene, you can do it as an accent or an impression or do it straight if you want.
Oh,
you
I'm
can...
playing it straight.
All right.
Nice.
Fucking do it. So Mauser, the programmer / In Free City cop bunny, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whenever you're ready, bring the noise and the funk.
All right. You can't escape the rabbit. We're apex predators. All we do is bone and brawl and slit throats.
You know how rabbits are known for slitting throats.
That's dangerous pets. Yeah. That's why I haven't gotten one.
I don't want to be murdered in my sleep by a bunny. No. I don't. That's not.
I mean, I saw Us, so I'm good.
Oh shit.
Good. Fair. Just throw it over to Tondi if you have a specific interest here. I like the idea of news reporter, but I also like the idea of you doing news reporter as well. So I don't know if
do it.
Or you also got guy or dude. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, news reporter's fine.
Okay.
Sunday should be warm and sunny with just a scattering of drive-bys. Potential dirty bomb Sunday night. A front of warm, dry gunfire mixed with late afternoon stabbings, fiddling in the streets, wet with the blood of innocence by early Tuesday night. Great day for the beach, but not Hitman's Beach, which will be mined and sprayed with high-caliber fire from a renegade gunship stolen by coked-up bandits and this frenzied band of blood-lusting mercenaries.
I had to double-check to make sure fiddling was correct, because that was just a weird choice in there. Yeah. But mm-hmm. yeah, that's...
My eyeballs, as I was reading forward, was like, is that fiddling?
Sure is.
Let's go with it.
I didn't expect fiddling with all this, but okay. There's gunships and, like, slitting throats and drive-bys and just the fucking fiddler just hanging out with his hat. Like asking for spare change.
It's Tevye.
Darling.
Yes.
Light of my life. Do you have a preference here?
No, you choose, Mayhem. Go for it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm never getting away from that.
Oh, God, no.
No, this is why I don't share with you ever about
nothing.
Anything.
I know nothing about your life.
I'm going to go with Dude.
Do it.
As we discussed at the top of the episode, so a nice little wrap around to the end there, or reach around more so in this show. I'm going to do the dude as if it was Sylvester Stallone who voiced King Shark in Suicide Squad.
Yes.
So from Dude. There are three things I love in life. Kicking ass, TBD, insert third thing here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent. That was quite good.
Perfect.
Well, yay. Sylvester was here, right?
He was just here.
He popped in for just a second to say hi.
We're close personal friends. Yeah. It makes sense.
Oh, speaking of, you did an accent on Knights this past week or whatever. The guys gave you shit for it. It was really good, though.
Who's that? Oh, that was that my iced tea impression?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was good. It was a good impression.
I listened to that because that was touching on some subjects that could get very hairy. Mm-hmm. So I definitely did a listen through and went, oh, good, good. There was no black scent involved in iced tea. It was just me doing
those. It was very iced tea.
That matter of fact iced tea kind of. Yeah.
It was good.
That is pretty good.
He just talks like he's about to sell you some fucking really rad Matchbox cars in a commercial. What we have here is a track made of fire. Buy some new Corvette Matchbox cars at your local KB Toys.
It's the Vin Diesel Street Sharks commercial. Right?
Holy shit, that is good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's your accent that you can do.
So we are sending it home with Ms. Amy doing Guy, his line.
Yes, and he was talking about what in this? It wasn't the bubblegum ice cream.
He's at the coffee shop, I think, right? When this happened.
Oh, is this? Did he get to try the cappuccino? Or something?
No. I think it was just before he got fully self-aware that he was drinking coffee. Yeah.
It's like if Jesus washed my tongue, and right before he finished, he told my dad, "He's good enough."
We don't have enough drunken scenes where it's about Jesus finishing. I think that needs to happen
and
more.
And approval from our fathers. We should integrate that more for the guests, not me.
For reasons.
For reasons.
We'll not get into further.
Someone told me that would be really meaningful for them.
A friend told.
I feel like a podcast is like the absolute worst way to make your dad love you.
Oh my God.
Like no lower choice on the rung than doing a podcast.
Like, yeah, my son got his third car dealership. I'm really proud. I was like, what's your son doing?
He kills people. That's it.
Yep. Hitman. Don't look it up. Won't find anything. Definitely not a podcaster. The bottom rung used to be stand-up comic.
Right.
And then if you got shat out of the bottom end of stand-up comedy, then you start a podcast. So yeah. That's...
It's like improv group.
Oh, yeah, there
I
is improv
say.
Group. Yeah.
True. Improv group on the bottom, community theater right above that, and then stand-up comic maybe right above that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just Tondi and I both just went right past community theater and improv and just dropped right
Boom.
Into podcasting.
Boom.
Wow. So this has been a real joy, a real fun conversation, which honestly, I'm glad that we had slight differences of opinion on the movie because when we got into the philosophy of the movie, it really did kind of show some of the weaker parts of what up to that point really was just a really fun romp. And I still stand by that. I really enjoyed this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
But
it's a lot of fun.
It's like,
yeah.
I recommend it.
It's
fully.
Like Detroit. It's a really good time. If you don't think about what you're seeing too much,
yep.
You see all the dilapidation, like this is really cool. And you don't think about all the families that got delocated from,
there are no jobs here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It makes sense if you don't think about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's me all the time. Head empty, just vibes. So I really enjoyed it. And it's so funny because I didn't think about like any of this besides Taika because that was just like egregious until we started getting on the show. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, yeah, wait.
And that does remind me another plug before we finish is that make sure to look out for the new autobiography from Amy Bogart called Head Empty, Just Vibes.
Yeah.
That will be hitting stores.
It's just a blank notebook.
It's a blank notebook.
There's nothing in it.
Occasionally, every like 8th or 10th page, you got a stick figure drawing in a corner somewhere. And that's
there's
about
like a
it.
Sassy picture of me posing in front of the green screen. Nothing on the green screen. It's just green.
Just standing there and doing like one of these like glamour shot poses.
90s glamour shots.
Yeah. Maybe sounds... pictures of you doing Molly in high school.
That's the origin story of my head empty just vibes face. It's ruining all my brain cells. It's really sweet, actually. I think it's pretty moving.
Yeah.
I wish all books were like that, just blank pages and yeah. My kind of book.
You would have a fucking blast in the journal section at Target.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you apparently just didn't turn that corner to the next aisle. Yeah.
I'm about to blow your mind, buddy.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this garbage. It's been an absolute blast. Make sure to check out gypodcast.com
for all the other shows on the network. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe. Check out Deeply Upsetting as well on our network. Miss Amy Bogard.
If you dare.
My handle is Jonathan Blade.
Boom.
Wherever you get your podcast, pretty much.
Everywhere.
Right? Yep. Cool. And then we've got a couple bands that you got any shows coming up in the near future?
Yeah. Talk Me Off is playing with Make War at the Camel on September 18th.
Nice.
So, yeah. And follow us. You'll find us.
Yeah. You guys got social media and stuff.
Exactly.
So, and definitely, I am looking forward to hearing NC17. I have not had the chance yet.
Yeah.
But Talk Me Off is fucking solid.
Thank
so.
You.
At the very least, jump on Spotify or something if you want to give that a spin.
It's all on there.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So we'll find you next time for another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
You were looking so forward to that. Yeah.
Join us or die.
GUIPodcast.com.
Put the sock down!